Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Terrorists hijacked our religion. So luckily, during the last 7-8 years, with the help of our friends, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Sikh, interfaith has become far more effective now.
On this solemn day, at this sacred hour, once more we pause, once more we pray, as a nation and as a people.
I hate Barack Obama. I'm going to pray that he dies and goes to hell.
Stop killing the abortionists. Stop killing the nurses. Stop killing the receptionists. And stop killing the babies. Killing is not the answer.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, I think as matters political go, this normally wouldn't catch much attention. There are 5 commissioners on the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and one of them, a space there, has just been filled by a nomination by President Obama, who is been elected to do such things, Chai Feldblum. Now, she is known for several things, coming from a prestigious Roman Catholic university at the Law Center there at Georgetown University, and also being a rather outspoken advocate of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered rights, GBTLLT, however you want to put it together. So what does that mean for regulatory policy, especially when it comes to hiring and firing in the United States? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Tuesday afternoon, the 15th of September. After our discussion with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, we'll talk about Dan Brown's newest novel. It's so new, it just came out early this morning, called The Lost Symbol. Dr. Ben Witherington will be our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, September the 15th. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or just Twitter us @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Jen, you should be thrilled with President Obama's pick to sit as one of the commissioners of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She comes from a prestigious Roman Catholic university, Georgetown.
Well, I'm thrilled in exactly the same way I was thrilled that President Obama himself gave a commencement address at another equally prestigious Roman Catholic university. That is to say, he was invited there in violation of the church's core principles, and I'm afraid Professor Feldbaum is also a problem from the point of view of Catholic core principles, so I do have some problems with this particular pick.
Why does it matter that that Chai Feldblum has in the past, at least according to the White House, worked on advancing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights, end quote?
Well, the reason it's significant, it's not just that she has so worked to promote them. It's what she believes is contained within that rubric. I mean, this is a person who has basically written very, very clearly that the rights of religious believers and the rights of gays and lesbians to behave the way they want to behave, that those rights are going to be in conflict. And in her opinion, when those rights are in conflict, she cannot see a reason why the religious view should prevail over the rights of gays and lesbians to do what they want. So it's not just that she wants them to have rights in the sense that a lot of people might think about rights as being the right to be left alone. She has something much more affirmative in mind, whereby equal protection statute, she's construing the equal protection analysis of the Constitution to cover anti-discrimination law that's what anti-discrimination law is about. I'm misspeaking there a little bit, but basically her understanding of how that kind of law should work is that having an exemption for religious people is not at all necessary, and that if states decide to have law anti-discrimination statutes which do not have exemptions for religious people, that that's perfectly okay. And in fact, she finds it hard to think of a case where the state should be required to have an exemption for religious people. So what you're really talking about here is a heightening of the conflict between religious liberty and the rights to sexual orientation activity, or however you want to put it. I'm not even sure exactly how you'd summarize this view, because there are two things at stake here, obviously. There is the person's feeling that their preference for sexual behavior is with a person of their own sex, and then there's the question of what they choose to do or not do based on that preference. Her position is that if you experience the same-sex attraction, that you're pretty much entitled to do what you want with it, and that people who have objections to it in any way, those people are the problem. And if you're open to the public in any way, that you should be required to serve people regardless of their behavior, no matter how much you might disapprove of that sexual behavior. So I think that the kind of direction that she would take the EEOC is something that religious believers need to be quite concerned about, Todd.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, and you used the word just a moment ago, I think probably consciously, affirmative. We had affirmative action for hiring when it came to racial issues, and we still do. And how is this any different? I mean, what are religious organizations that they should not have to basically be gender blind to their employees?
Well, you know, that is the argument that people make, Todd. That's exactly right. That it's not just that you should be gender blind with respect to your employees and race blind with respect to your employees, but also you should be blind to certain kinds of behavior and certain kinds of beliefs that people are engaged in, even if those behaviors and beliefs are in opposition to the core teachings and principles of your religious organization. And so the reason that's problematic is that implied in the view that sexual orientation is something morally neutral, implied in that is a view that sex itself is something that has no intrinsic meaning to it. That is to say, there's nothing particular about the heterosexual sexual act that sets it apart from other forms of sexual behavior. And if you affirm that there is something special about heterosexual sex, in fact, we used to, you know, kind of quaintly call it the conjugal act. You know, the heterosexual sex used to be called the marriage act, the conjugal act. And that usage reflected a very deep and well-thought-out teaching about the meaning of human sexuality as being something that brings a man and a woman together in a full union for their whole for the whole of their life. And we've so gotten away from that people think that any kind of sexual activity, any kind of genital sexual activity is perfectly equivalent to each other. So if you are a group or an individual that believes that sex matters, that sex has some intrinsic meaning other than what we assign to it, then you're going to have a hard time explaining that in public. You're going to have a hard time defending your right to act on those beliefs in public. And the counter view that is going to be presented to you by the public square and by the law itself is that sex is intrinsically meaningless except for the meaning that we happen to attach to it. And so if these people want to have sex with people of their same sex, they're entitled to do that, and you're not entitled to an opinion about it and unless you keep that opinion completely to yourself and never talk about it or act on it in any tangible way that might infringe upon their belief that they're entitled to do what they want. So it looks like moral neutrality, but in point of fact, it is not moral neutrality.
So is it conceivable, should this agenda advance itself far enough legally, legislatively, and in the courts, that church organizations, even churches themselves, or other religious organizations that have heretofore but not reserved to themselves the right to refuse employment for issues surrounding homosexuality, bisexuality, transgendered, whatever you have there, is it conceivable that they could be forced legally to abandon those policies?
I think that's quite possible. That's quite possible. And Kai Feldblum believes that if the states want to pass anti-discrimination law with no exemption whatsoever for religious belief, that that would be perfectly okay. And in fact, I think that would be her preferred position. So when cases come before the government or the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, of which she'll be a member now, those cases are going to be more likely to be decided against the interests of the religious bodies that are in trouble. Now, the place I got this information, people will be interested to know, there's a book that I have reviewed on my website, on the RuthInstitute.org website. The book is called Same-Sex Marriage and Religious Liberty, and the subtitle is Emerging Conflicts. And one of the contributors, it's a collection of essays of people from a variety of points of view, and one of the contributors to it is Kai Feldblum. And from my reading of that volume, she looks to be the most radical pro-gay resistant to religious privilege person in this volume, okay? In other words, her position is that tough luck for the churches if they don't get to have what they want. So you can find that book on the Ruth Institute website if you go look at our books page or our reading list page, whatever it is, and scroll down there, you'll find the Same-Sex Marriage and Religious Liberty, Emerging Conflicts, and you'll be able to just pass through and get the book from Amazon through us there. But the point is that I think everybody, for some time, people have realized that there are potential conflicts between religious liberty and same-sex marriage, or
about 10 seconds here,
marriage, but the same-sex anti-discrimination, and she is taking one of the most radical positions possible on that continuum.
Folks, when you surf the web tonight, check out the Ruth Institute. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse and the Ruth Institute. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is the founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, Dr. Ben Witherington is going to join us. A very early review of Dan Brown's new novel just out today, The Lost Symbol. We'll talk about Dan Brown's worldview with Dr. Ben Witherington after this.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out. Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in Word and Sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.